Yes. That was beautiful this morning. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you, and we want to welcome all of you on this Father's Day weekend and Sunday. And it's our fourth Sunday after Pentecost, and we are glad that you're with us today and joining us in worship. And a little later on, we'll be honoring our fathers, and our kids are going to be presenting a little thing to us this morning also. And later on then, we will be continuing in our series and looking at hope as confident expectation, rooted in the faithfulness of God and that anchor that holds when everything else is shaken. And we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph this Sunday and next Sunday. I thought I was going to cover it this Sunday, but it's turned into two messages looking at Joseph's life. So we'll be looking at those over the next two Sundays. So we are so glad to see you this morning. We want to welcome you. We want to welcome those that'll be tuning in and listening online later in the week. And so let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. Through many dangers, toils, and snares,
we have already come.
Through days of joy and nights of fear,
we traveled this far by faith.
Through life, through death,
Christ walks with us.
We are not alone. Well, let's join together and sing that hymn that we all know, hymn number 73. This is my Father's world.
This is my Father's world.
Together for our opening prayer and the bulletin this morning. God of comfort, come to us in this time of worship. Be present in our lives that you may hear our cries and speak to our souls. Give us your strength that we may live all the days of our lives in steadfast faith and hope. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we are going to take a few moments here this morning to honor our dads and granddads that are with us here this morning. And let me begin. Some dads love to grill. Some dads prefer to golf. Some dads enjoy tinkering with their cars. But most dads have one thing in common: a love of corny jokes. Whether it's a cheesy riddle or a creative pun, there's no better way to have your dad rolling with laughter. So here's a few. Why do dads bring an extra pair of socks to play golf on Father's Day? In case they get a hole in one. Where do dads go to dance on Father's Day? Golf clubs. I don't know if everybody gets that one. Young people would get that because they know when they go to clubs to dance. Yeah. How do dads like their steak on Father's Day? On a plate. What's a groundbreaking Father's Day gift to give your dad? A shovel. I told you they were corny. And I got two other pages of them, so you might hear them. You might hear them over the next this summer. One of the kids, he was a senior graduating. He had a book, and I was subbing for the chemistry physics teacher, Mrs. Beal, and he pulled that out towards the end of class, and I said, "Does that say dad jokes on it?" And he said, "Yeah," and he read a couple of them, and they were hilarious. I'd love to get a hold of that book, and that would have been great. But we are so grateful for our dads and our lives and what they meant to us, our granddads. And even if we grew up and struggled sometimes with our relationships with our dads or our grandfathers, we still want to realize how important they are, because the book of Exodus tells us, and Jesus encourages that also, about honoring our fathers and our mothers, that we may live long in the land. And so today we're going to, let's just have all of our dads, if they would just stand, and we're going to honor them. So come on, Dad, stand up. Yep, come on, there we go. Yep. Thank you, dads. You guys can be seated. Granddads, great-granddads. You can go ahead and be seated. And I'm going to ask you to join with me this litany. And as we pray for our fathers, and you guys will be the underlined italics portion. Let's pray. Holy God, hear this, our prayer for fathers. For fathers and grandfathers who have given us life and love.
We thank you for our fathers and grandfathers.
For men who have acted like fathers to those in need of advice and support.
We thank you for these fathers.
For stepfathers who have assumed their role in love.
We thank you for these fathers.
For adoptive fathers who have heard the call of God to lovingly step forward for those in need of care.
We thank you for these fathers.
For new fathers, full of hope. For long-time fathers, full of wisdom. For the fathers yet to be and fathers soon to be.
We pray your blessing upon them, O God.
God our Father, bless these men that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Grant them wisdom, patience, strength, faith, and love. Grant this through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, our kids are going to be coming, and they are going to be sharing with us. Here. Did you say something? What I didn't know. Are they going downstairs? Okay, yeah. You guys can head on down. So we let them give the message today. So we're gonna. So as we go to our time of prayer this morning, and boy, they did a great job. Man, that's really great. I get to watch where they play their notes. And So we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning that we want to give you a chance to share before we go to prayer. And so let's begin. Yep. Yeah, and it's also hard on her body, too, to go through that. I know my secretary at the very first church I pastored, she was part-time, and she went in for dialysis, and it started off a couple days, and before the end, it was three or four. But thank God she was able to get a kidney. But I saw what it did to her, and it's not an easy thing. So Megan really needs a real miracle and answer of God. Somebody else? Unspoken? Somebody else? Yep. Do you know her sister's name?
I think it's Cindy.
Okay. I think that's what you mentioned last week, yeah. Okay. Was there any more?
No.
Okay. All right, Carol. Okay.
His name is Matt.
Okay. And did you say the family was with him too?
The whole family.
Okay. Okay. Definitely want to keep them in our prayers, Matt and his family. And yeah, so somebody else. Someone else. Yeah. Unspoken. Anybody else this morning?
There's been a change in my sister's treatment plan. The James does not accept their insurance. They were going to give her a financial consultation, but not until the end of July. And so her doctor made a referral to the University of Cincinnati, who does accept their insurance. So we're waiting to... She's waiting to hear from them to schedule, you know, consultation and come up with a plan for treatment. So continued prayers for her that things start happening quickly.
Yes, yeah. Don't want to mess around when you get something in a lymph node. So, yeah. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay. Another unspoken. Someone else? Yep.
Unspoken.
Okay. Someone else? Anybody else this morning?
I have joy.
Yeah.
Smoke shower.
He
was a good friend of mine. He introduced me to this church over 50-something years ago.
Really?
When I first got married, I read about the smoke shop and his mother. And Smoke loved traffic control. And he always talked to me about it. He was really involved with the fairgrounds and stuff. And he was a joy to be around.
Yes.
And last night, we started our season. I forever heard the traffic. Said, this is for you, Smoke. And I
won. Yeah. He did. Yeah, I knew he was usually down there. And although I wasn't always at the fair when the tractor pull was going on, I always heard the two of them say they were going to go down for the tractor pull. And yeah, so somebody else this morning. Anybody else this morning?
I will get it, I promise, because he loved that hymn, and so I played that often for him.
Yes, yes. I'll probably share this on Tuesday, but him and Mary were some of the early ones that welcomed Jody and I and made us feel welcome and here along with others too. So many of them that are no longer with us, they passed on to be with the Lord. But yeah, and anybody else this morning? Yes, yes. And then you guys are traveling too, aren't you then?
Maybe Saturday.
Saturday? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're going on one of their trips.
One more trip, and that's it.
Oh, I'm sure somebody will come up with a new idea. So, somebody else. Yes.
I had another traveling
mercy
for family.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the
Mitras. For the what?
For the Mitras. You're leaving tomorrow for Brandy,
Italy. Oh, Mitras, okay, yeah.
Mitra.
Okay, somebody else? Anybody else? Yeah? That we hear soon, so my anxiety goes down. And lots of traveling. Plus, and I know some of our folks are probably maybe traveling today to go be with their fathers, and also vacation starting, and everybody that will be traveling. So definitely. Over the next, we always do this through June, July, and August, praying for those that are on vacation and traveling and everything. And so, anybody else then? Oh, got several.
Prayers for Katie and Jesus and James, because Katie's moving next weekend. They got to do more work.
So they're going to be traveling and moving too?
Yeah, not very far, but they're moving from Centerville to Miamisburg.
Okay, so we want to remember them, and I saw another hand.
He's my co-worker, Winfrey Smith, in your prayers. She's retiring from Marshall's after 30-some years with us and starting her new life just out in the world with her husband, with some travel and stuff, but she's just blurry about how things are going to happen. So just prayers for what's to come.
Who was it?
Wendelline,
that's what I thought. Okay. All right. So we want to remember her in our prayers also then this morning. So. Okay. Well, wow. Lots and lots of prayer requests there this morning. And so give you a chance to pray, and then I will come and close this out. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come together and gather in Christ's name and worship together, pray, and hear your word and hear your teaching and grow in our faith as we face trials and difficulties in life. But we're also thankful that prayer helps us in all of that. And Lord, you give us the privilege to be able to come to you and pray and lift up our own needs, but also the needs of others, as so many were mentioned today. Lord, we pray for the Shout family today. And God, we just ask for your grace and peace and comfort as we will celebrate his life on Tuesday and remember him. And Lord, we lift up Megan today, asking for a miracle there, God, to keep her healthy and well enough, and then to open that door for a new kidney, God. And we just ask that you would make a way, Lord, there for Bretta this morning, and Mike, Lord, and Brenda and Don and Gary and Bill and Shauna and Jody and Wendelin and her husband and Cindy and Matt and his family and Jill, Lord, and Lord, for Katie that's moving, the Mitra family, the Burton family, for Sarah, all of these ones that are traveling, God. We just lift up every one of these needs today. Lord, we lift up Linda Everett, Lord, for your continued healing. For Brooklyn, Jody's niece, who is recovering from being in the hospital. God, we just ask that you would touch each one of them, and that your hand would be upon them, and that you would meet these needs today. And Lord, we lift up these four unspoken needs, God, that you would minister and move in each of those situations as you do. And we trust you in that. And Lord, we also rely upon your grace in the midst of it all. And we thank you for that today. We ask your continued blessing upon the rest of our service as we break the bread of your word. May you speak to us and encourage us and strengthen us. And then for all of our dads, Lord, as we prayed earlier, Lord, we just send them all forth, including all of us then, as we go about our week, Lord, and that you would watch over us and use us to be a light into somebody's life. And we thank you for all of these things this morning as we lift them up in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we want to thank you so much for your faithfulness each month and however you give through that month. And it makes a world of a difference as we continue to minister, not only here as we gather, but also that goes out on the internet and our missions team, the ministries that go out throughout the months for them. And so as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. Lord, we ask you to bless this offering that it may be used for the work you have set before us, for we place our ministry in your hands. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last night, so when you start seeing them again, the young couple that sets out here, Michael and Hannah, we celebrated their wedding last night, and a beautiful wedding, and it was a wonderful thing. So that's why you don't see any of the whirlings here today. And but yes, what a great time together with them. Well, our scripture reading is coming from a lot of places in Genesis. And we are going to be kind of traveling over some of these over this Sunday and next Sunday. And so let's jump right in. Genesis 37 through 50 basically covers the whole story of Joseph and his life. We're going to begin by laying the foundation, and the biggest part is chapter 37 when he's young and how everything starts. So Jacob lived in the land of Canaan where his father was immigrant. This is the account of Jacob's descendants. Joseph was 17 years old and tended the flock with his brothers. Now Israel, who was also Jacob, so you don't get confused, loved Joseph more than any of the other sons because he was born when Jacob was old. Jacob had made for him a long robe. When his brothers saw their father loved him more than any of his brothers, they hated him and couldn't even talk nicely to him. Joseph had a dream and told it to his brothers, which made them hate him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. When we were binding stalks of grain in the field, my stalks got up and stood upright, while your stalks gathered around it and bowed down to my stalks." His brothers said to him, "Will you really be our king and rule over us?" So they hated him even more because of the dreams he told them. Then Joseph had another dream and described it to his brothers. "I've just dreamed again, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he described it to his father and brothers, his father scolded him and said to him, "What kind of dream have you had or dreamed? Am I and your mother and your brothers supposed to come and bow down to you, bow down to the ground in front of you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father took careful note of the matter. They saw Joseph in the distance before he got close to them, and they plotted to kill him. The brothers said to each other, "Here comes the big dreamer. Come on now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns." and we'll say a wild animal devoured him. Then we will see what becomes of his dreams. When Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped off Joseph's long coat, took him and threw him into the cistern, an empty cistern with no water in it. When they sat down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with camels carrying sweet resin, medicinal resin, and fragrant resin on their way down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What do we gain if we kill our brother and hide his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's not harm him because he's our brother, he's family." His brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they pulled Joseph out of the cistern. They sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. Now, when Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, Pharaoh's chief officer, the commander of the royal guard, and an Egyptian, purchased him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man and served in his Egyptian master's household. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made everything he did successful. From the time he appointed Joseph head of household and of everything he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's household because of Joseph. The Lord blessed everything he had, both in the household and in the field. And then way at the end of the story, when Joseph's brothers realized their father was now dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and wants to pay us back seriously for all the terrible things we did to him?" So they approached Joseph and said, "Your father gave orders before he died, telling us, this is what you should say to Joseph. Please forgive your brother's sins and misdeeds, for they did terrible things to you. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of your father's God." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers wept too, fell down in front of him and said, "We're here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I God? You meant to do me harm, but God meant to bring good out of it by preserving the lives of many people, as we see today. Now don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your descendants." So he comforted them and set their minds at rest. That's God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Okay, one more dad joke. One more dad joke. Why did the belt get arrested? It held up a pair of pants. There you go. I want to talk to you this morning, and really the next, today and next Sunday, about the presence and grace to endure. Life has a way of taking us to places we never expected. Sometimes it's wonderful and thrilling. At other times, it's painful and challenging. Joseph was 17 years old, about my son's age, when he was thrown into a cistern by his brothers, sold as a slave, taken hundreds of miles from home, falsely accused, wrongfully in prison. We didn't even read all those sections. Forgotten by the very man he helped. And when I started to think about this, I was thinking, when tragedy strikes, one question that rises above all others in our minds is, where is God? And Joseph probably asked this question. And so today and next Sunday, we are going to look at Joseph's life and consider how God's presence and grace is at work in our trials. So let's begin. I'm going to try to get through three. I may only do two where our time's at here. We'll see. First of all, God's presence is greater than our pain. God's presence is greater than our pain. One of the things that keeps coming up over and over in the story of Joseph, and we didn't even look at all of it, but at least at the beginning of it there that we read, is that God is with us in tragedy. God is with us in tragedy. God does not leave us. God does not take off and say, hey, this is too great for me. You got yourself into this. Now you get yourself out of it. That's not, because the narrator in the Genesis story tells us repeatedly throughout this story, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Notice God didn't prevent Joseph's troubles, but was working behind the scenes with Joseph through it all. The Joseph story infers that God was with him in the pit, or the cistern, in slavery, in Potiphar's house, in temptation, which we didn't read, but that's when Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph, in disappointment, when the baker and the cupbearer forgot Joseph when he was in prison, and then in prison and in his loneliness. You know, this is a message that we need today. Because life is not always easy. And suffering sometimes does not quickly end, even though we want it to at times, or most of the time. But here's the thing. God's grace sustains us through adversity. God's presence sustains us through adversity. God's presence, God's grace with Joseph didn't eliminate his difficulties. Rather, it altered his ability to endure. Now, I don't know if I like that answer. Because I don't like going through hard times. I don't like going through pain. I don't like going through difficulty. And if you're like me, you may have prayed also, Lord, take this away. And no answer is given. Instead, the narrator in Genesis implies that God's grace is sufficient for us. How many of you remember those words that were told to somebody very powerful? In fact, wrote half the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. When he was wrestling with God about this thorn in his flesh, and we're never told what that is, and there's speculation by commentators up and down and dozens of different answers to that. But God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness is my strength. Now, here's the great thing about God. Sometimes God does deliver us from trouble. But more often, God delivers us through trouble. Because God's greatest promise is not an easier life. God's greatest promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's presence is greater than our pain. Next thing is that God's grace helps us remain faithful as or when we endure. When we endure. Now, here's the thing that we got to keep in mind through all of this. And this can be hard at times when we have to just learn to do it. And that's this. Don't let disappointments become bitterness. Don't let disappointments become bitterness. Joseph experienced this cycle, and if we would have kept reading through the whole, all those chapters from 37 to 50, you will see that Joseph experienced this cycle of success and then tragedy follows. Then waiting. And in this story, he didn't wait 13 days. He didn't wait 13 months. He waited 13 years. Not once do we get the inkling he became bitter in all of that. You know, after every promotion, it seems sometimes like a disappointing trial may come about. Yet Joseph kept serving, working, trusting, never bitter. He was disappointed. He was frustrated. I'm sure he was angry, you know, asking questions. But we're never told in the story he gets bitter. Because I think if he would have got bitter at the very end of the story, he probably would have let his brothers have it. I mean, how many of you, your brothers would have done something like that to you? I mean, what would you have wanted to do to them when it was all said and done? Why? Because God always prepares us before promoting us. We often want God's destination without God's preparation. Oh my gosh, how many sermons in chapel did we hear in the Bible college I went to? This right there. God always prepares us before promoting us. David faced a giant. David faced jealousies from Saul. David faced caves before the throne of Israel. Moses faced the backside of the wilderness before he led the Hebrew people through the Red Sea and to freedom. Jesus faced a wilderness and a cross before, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2, that he now has the name that is above every name in heaven and in earth. Joseph faced a pit or cistern, an accusation, a prison, abandonment before the palace. Waiting is never easy. But listen, it's never wasted. Waiting is never wasted when God is in it. God does some of the greatest work while we think nothing is happening. God's grace helps us remain faithful as we endure. Third thing is God gives meaning to our suffering. Notice what Joseph said. You planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it. Here's the thing. When we're facing that, we don't deny when bad happens to us. I mean, Joseph's brother sold him. Potiphar's wife lied about him. The cupbearer forgot about him. All of that was real in Joseph's life. But by faith, we realize God is at work on our behalf. And there's the step that makes the difference in our lives. Notice Joseph said God produced something good for it. I can almost guarantee you that God never approved of what his brothers did or how they treated him. But God used that to save the entire nation of Israel. And God can bring vindication and redeem what people intended as ill or bad for us. How many of you have ever seen the backside of a tapestry? I remember the backside of my grandma's quilts and my mom and sister's cross stitches, but I never saw the back of a tapestry until I was subbing for art classes in high school. And I finally got to see the back of them. And all you see are knots, loose threads, a mess, confusion, and something that doesn't make any sense. But if you turn it over, you discover a masterpiece. Listen, we usually live on the backside of the tapestry and think our lives are a mess, chaos, threads, knots, confusion, and don't make sense at times. Yet God sees the front of us, the masterpiece side. And Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are God's masterpiece that is beautifully being woven and drawn together despite what we see on the other side. God's presence, God's grace. We'll finish it up next week. Amen. Amen. Well, take a couple moments and greet one another. Share your blessing. Shake some hands. Give a hug if you want to. And then we will close out with our chorus, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." So that we can sing. So let's sing it now. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show Lord, I lift your name. We're going to sing it again in case you forgot it. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Show the way. the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go in faithfulness, ready to serve God. May God bless and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and grant us grace and peace now and evermore. Amen.